Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box.
The cost was Christ.
Never too much for him to pay to set us free. You don't know the cost of my praise. You don't know the cost of the oil in my eye.
Let us pray.
Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I just want to be free, deliver. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. It would be totally unforgivable of me if on a day such as this, with all the happiness and the fireworks that have been going off, if I didn't take time to wish you Happy Independence Day. Happy Independence Day, everyone. I don't know of many, but if I could ask those who have served and who are serving in the U.S. Armed Forces, just to stand for a moment and be recognized. I know Sister Jeanette is probably, she's upstairs there. There's Brother Jeff there. Thank you very much for your service. Thank you very much for allowing us this freedom that we have. God bless you. God bless your efforts. We pray for those who are still serving and those who will serve. For those of us who are not serving but who are enjoying the freedoms of the great United States and the freedoms not only in this country but freedoms around the world as the United States fights for liberty, let me quote Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not this liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. This is what Jesus asked. And this is the best way, I believe, that we can show our gratitude and appreciation. The sermon topic is love. I put three dots after it. It's been something that's been riding on my mind for a little while. But what is love? What is love? What is love? Somebody? Nobody? Oh my. All right, well, I have a definition right here. And I think the newly enjoined, who are prospective couple, will agree with my definition. I got this definition a long time ago. One pastor said, love is a feeling that you're feeling when you're feeling a feeling that you've never felt before. You agree? You agree? The evolutionists have a serious problem with this because in all this big bang, this explosion of nothing became something and all that, they say that we are material. We're just chemicals. But feelings are immaterial, just like pain. Like hate, Love is something that is immaterial. So what my brother and my sister are feeling, then the evolutionist is struggling to explain and saying, well, you know, it's just a chemical imbalance that is occurring. Right? It's really not real. So that bubbling feeling you're feeling right now is nothing but indigestion. I'm sorry to tell you. The Bible defines love in one word. 1 John 4, verse 8. God is love. What does that mean? God is love. I'm going to bring them up again, but I was reasoning with a Muslim. And, you know, they believe that the Bible is sort of correct in certain parts. But it says the Quran came to confirm the previous scriptures that the Jews and Christians have, our Bible. 500 years after the Bible was completed, after the scrolls or the received texts that had chain of authority that later became the King James Version were penned and were put together and compiled, they say, whenever the Bible and the Quran differ, then the Quran is here to they get confused. So they believe that the parts of the Bible that are confirmed by the Quran are correct, and the parts that don't agree with the Quran are incorrect. The Quran says Allah has no partners, but it's very confusing because Allah can refer to himself as we and our, but he still means one. And yet Muslims can't understand what we mean by the Trinity being three in one, even if you don't call it Trinity. But they say it's because of his greatness he can do this. Scripture tells us repeatedly that God is a multiplicity of persons. God in Genesis said, "Let us make man after our image, after our likeness." Not of my faith, and I've never met her personally. She said when God was talking to the angels. But let's look at what the Bible says. God in Genesis says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." He couldn't have been talking to the angels, as she says. Why? There's nowhere in the scripture which says that angels were made in the image of God. There's nowhere. I haven't found it yet. If you find it, you let me know. But God said man was made in his image after his likeness. Still made a little lower than the angels. But we reflect the image and likeness of God. Genesis 19, verse 24. Then the Lord, visiting Abraham, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Sounds like two different lords. The Lord Yahweh is on earth talking to Abraham, and the Lord Yahweh in heaven raining down brimstone and fire. We see what Doug Batchelor has this book. It's called, I think it's Flashes of Light, seeing Jesus throughout the Bible. And we see this pre-incarnate Jesus appearing to different people in the Old Testament before his birth. Then the Spirit is quite busy. Jehovah Witnesses say that the Spirit is a thing, it's an active force. This Spirit is quite busy, especially in the Old Testament, that we can see, especially in Judges. And they came, Exodus 35, verse 21, "And they came, everyone whose heart was stirred up, and everyone whom his Spirit made willing." 2 Samuel 23, verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my mouth." 1 Samuel 16:14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. 1 Kings 18:12, and it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. Judges has a whole lot of the Spirit of the Lord coming upon people and them judging Israel. 2 Kings 2:6, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up. This spirit is doing a lot of work, and the Bible is referring to the Spirit in several places as someone doing things that someone does. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Isaiah 63:14, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. Ezekiel 3:12, then the Spirit took me up. Ezekiel 3:14, so the Spirit lifted me up. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. These are words in red in your Bible, if you have a red letter Bible. Jesus speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath not anointed me to preach the gospel. Then Peter said, Acts 5:9, how is it that you've agreed to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? I want to skip over a couple of these and go to Isaiah 40:1-2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. And it brought my mind back to what Jesus said. I have to go, because if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter, cannot come. And here he says, comfort ye my people, Isaiah 40:1-2, saith your God. When we reach down to verse 7 of Isaiah 40, it says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. We skip down to Isaiah 40:13-14. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment? And taught him knowledge? And showed him the way of understanding? As far as I can see, this Holy Spirit cannot be a thing. It has to be a person. Then in some verses we see there are three. Luke 3:22. And the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, thou art my beloved Son, thee I am well pleased. 3. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, in the name, one name. That name is God. The Muslims also say that Allah cannot have a son. And they say our doctrines are contradictory because they're not consistent. They don't see this son coming from the prophets of the old, coming into the New Testament. It's a New Testament theology. I want you to be able to meet these accusations with substance. Daniel 3:24-25. Daniel, 600 years before Christ. There's a controversy about Daniel because some people said, Daniel must have been in the 200s. This can't have been that old because there are three Greek words in the whole of the writing of Daniel. I researched it, and I forgot the name of the Institute of Archaeology. But they went through, and two of the words were found way past 600 years. There are some people who want to discredit our prophets, discredit our prophetic books. But Daniel was written 600 years before Christ, as the Bible teaches us. And if you want to hear it from a pagan king, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake unto his counselors. Before I get to jumping, does everybody know where we are? Everybody know the story of the three Hebrew boys, Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah? All right. So the king had set up his statue, and he said, may Babylon live forever. And everybody is to bow down and worship. And there are three stalks which stood up straight and said, O king, we are not mindful to answer thee on this matter. Our God can save us from the fire furnace and out of your hand, but if he chooses not to, we will not bow. Daniel 3, verses 24 and 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake unto his counselors and said, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered unto him and said, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men walking loose in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. From the mouth of a pagan king. Let me give you one more before I move on. And we see the sun in the Old Testament. 900 years before Christ. Proverbs 3, verse 4. Proverbs was written by? Who wrote Proverbs?
Solomon.
Most of it was Solomon. Most of it was Solomon. Supposedly, according to the Bible, and we believe the wisest man on earth. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? What's he talking about? He's talking about creation. He's talking about creation. In the same way, if you go back to the verses that we were talking about before, right? Where was it again? I gotta skip back. I missed it a little bit. Isaiah 40, you'll see it talks about creation as well. It talks about Jesus. Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If thou canst tell. So we see the Son, the Spirit, the Father being talked about in the Old Testament. The Bible expresses that God exists as a multiple of persons. But what does love mean? We, you are made in the image and likeness of God. What should that look like? Love has to be at least three. God is a family. When I explain it to people, to my Muslim friends, I try to explain it the simplest way I can. I say God has to be a family. Someone has to be at the head. Someone has to choose to allow someone to lead until it's their time they can take over, just as in any family. But respect is due where respect is due. Jesus and the Holy Spirit humbled themselves to the Father and became obedient to his will. God allowed the human family to reflect the heavenly family. And now we know that because Jesus told us there is no procreation in heaven. But when God came together, what did God do? In the beginning, they came together and they made Adam. Then they came together again and said, it's not good for man to be alone. So they made Eve. Made sure Adam had no part in it. No, you know, RSC would be boasting about it for a long time. You know, Eve, I was there when God, you know, me and God, we made you. Made sure Adam was asleep, totally knocked out. And then he gave them instructions. What did he say? Come together and make another. Make another. Love has to be at least three. Two people. You ever see two people who they claim that they're in love and they're all just yuck. all into each other, just all into each other. And everything is about each other, and it you know, yeah, we were there one time, but now we look back and we say, yeah. But that doesn't build character. But when that little angel comes, Bodhi Bakum calls them vipers in diapers. That's when the work of character building starts. God said, make another. And some of us are real suckers for punishment because we just keep making them over and over and over and over. By now, our character should be perfect. Characters. No more just husband and wife. Everybody has to get used to somebody else cutting in on their time, and they have to love it. Humans shouldn't define love as a feeling. Love is principled. The scripture reading from the HCSB, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God is love. Amen. So if love is such a good thing, then why does God instruct us at times that we shouldn't do it? 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17 begin, love not. The opening two words bear witness that love is not always a good thing. In other words, there are times when love, as we see it, is not love in God's eyes. The verse continues, 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love is a bad thing when it is directed at the wrong object, when it is engrossed in the wrong object. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So when we take love and we direct it inwardly to fulfill our own lusts, the lust of the world instead of the lust of God, God says, love not. Now I'm going to give you a couple of examples, and I'm going to ask you to help me. Right? Because I'm going to say to you, God says, and you're going to respond, love not. Cool? That all right? That way we won't fall asleep. All right? So, if I say to you, when we take love and direct it inwardly to fulfill our own lust instead of God's will, God says, love not. All right, good, good, good. You see the teacher coming out. You see the teacher coming out here. Wonderful students. The world here refers to those who choose not to do the will of God, but fulfill their own lust. So we're going to look at the scripture reading in reverse and see what God says and why you're going to say, love not. Husbands, wives, and children. Children, you little babies, vipers in diapers, you think it's Burger King? You think it's your way right away? If your love is impatient, God says, all right. If you're treating your spouse like your child and think that he or she needs a little spanking and putting in place every now and then. Then God says your love is unkind, and God says, I think some of us are still sleeping. If your love is envious and is looking and lusting over the fence, you're trying to build a harem. When God says one man and one woman, then God says? Okay. Come to the front of the class. Sister Ellen White wrote to a man and told him that the Lord told her that he should not get a bicycle. He should not get a bicycle. And many people have taken this quote, as they have done with many of Sister White's quotes, and taken them out of context and written her off as a false prophet. But when we look at the situation, a bicycle in those days cost the same or more than a luxury car. He didn't have a salary to support that. The Lord told her that he was starving his family to get the bicycle so that people would look up to his family and he could show off to the people around. But what does the Bible say? If your love is boastful, God says. If your love is conceited and prideful, God says. You're with someone and they keep pressing you with the phrase, if you really love me. If you really love me, normally you hear it from the male side more than the female side, with referring to some things. It says, if you really love me, you will blank. Let me tell you what the Bible says. If your love does not act properly, God says, all right. A young pastor went off to college. He's a pastor in training. He comes back after months. His girlfriend is on a AY panel, an Adventist youth panel, and they're up at the front and they're discussing several pertinent things. And he comes in and he sits beside one of his childhood friends who he grew up with. He was his neighbor, and he shakes her hand, he greets her, he sits down to take in the message, and he sees his girlfriend looking a little uneasy. When she gets the mic, the first thing she says on the mic when she's asked to respond is, Brother Taylor, you need to find another seat. The pastor takes him out at the end of the service and lets him know, brother, it won't work anymore. The Bible says, if your love is selfish, then God says, love not. If your love is easily provoked, then God says, love not. If your love will keep a record of wrongs and tell you how many times you sat beside the wrong person in church because they don't like that person, God says, all right. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Galatians 5 verse 19. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings. Some of the Caribbean people like the reveling carnival thing and the drunkenness. No. And of such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If your love finds joy in unrighteousness, then God says, love not. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If your love does not rejoice in Jesus, the truth, God says, love not. You've been a good class. You might get a piece of candy later. Why not? Because God is love. Love bears all things, believes all things. Love hopes all things, endures all things. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek, the Gentile. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This alludes to Adam and Eve. They became futile in their thoughts, their foolish hearts were darkened, and they ate of the fruit. Professing to be wise, the serpent had promised them wisdom. Professing them to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of an incorruptible God, into an image made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore also God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. I won't read the rest. You can read the rest. But who, verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve also of those who practice them. We used to teach from the Bible that the rainbow is God's promise, and there would never be another worldwide flood. As a science teacher, every year I teach that the colors represent Roy G. Biv: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Nowadays, some people want us to attach some different letters that make no sense. L, G, B, T, Q, plus. June 2026 was celebrated as Pride Month. Love is one of their slogans, but when love is directed at the wrong object, God says, love not. 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17, love not the world, neither things of the world. And this is a very interesting passage because June was Pride Month. 1 John 2, verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not in the Father, but is of the world. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I think the Bible, I think God knew what he was doing when these verses were penned. And he sent them down prophetically for us to stop, look, and listen. It's not in my notes, but I'm quickly. Desmond Doss. Anybody ever heard of Desmond Doss? Conscientious objector. He was a Sabbath keeper. He didn't engage in certain things on Sabbath. He was small of stature, shorter than the average army man. No offense, Elder Jeff. But he wanted to serve his country. And he wanted to serve his God. So he put the butt after what the devil said. The devil said he would need to carry a gun. The devil said he needed to arm himself. And at great cost to him, he says, but the Lord will keep me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. Desmond Doss was beaten for his beliefs, for not wanting to carry arms. They were trying to get him out of the army, and he stood by. He kept staying by until years later he was awarded the Army Medal of Honor. On the books without a weapon, officially they said he had saved 75 lives as a medic, plus at least one enemy life during the Battle of Hacksaw Ridge. Put your butt after what the devil says, because whatever comes after that, that's what you're going to do. I know he looks good, Lord. I know. But you said we should not be unequally yoked, so. You see what I'm saying? If you put your butt after what the devil says and what the devil is showing you, then everything will be well. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirit. This is where Muhammad failed. Muhammad didn't test the spirit that came to him. But we should test the spirits. Not everyone who gives you advice that they think is good advice should have their advice taken. John 18, verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus and did so, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus to the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrines, and Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet. And in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I have said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "Love is patient, love is kind." Remember, Jesus answered him and said, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Anna sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Verse 25, now Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Then Peter denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Peter denied Jesus before he was crucified. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Jesus is risen, he's come back. Peter is fishing. He's pulled in a great load of fish. He knows it's the master. Jesus cooks for them." Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Do you love me more than this fishing life that you've grown to love? Peter says, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, Feed my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved and said to him the third time, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Have you denied your Lord like Peter? Have you lost your way doing whatever it is? This is not done. We don't want to hear. God allows U-turns. Love is patient. God is patient. Love is kind. God is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked easily, and does not keep a record of wrongs. God does not keep a record of wrongs. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If this is you, if you have forsaken your Lord, if you have given up, today I call you back. I tell you, God allows U-turns. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but it rejoices in the truth. And as we pray to close, if you're making that U-turn, make it so you can be in heaven. Because love bears all things. It believes all things. It believes that you can. It hopes all things. It endures all things. God promised us eternal life to them who believe.